So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, everybody. Oh, October 3rd. I'm starting to lose track of what's going on.
I'm you, Vince McMahon, Ted Turner, you guys that run big promotions.
Oh, good Lord.
No, I don't know about the Lord has anything to do with it. He's probably not a wrestling fan.
He probably
is. Anyway, we're here. We're a few minutes late.
Yeah, that's my fault. I'm not feeling too well today, Les.
Okay.
I haven't been feeling good since probably Monday or Sunday.
Oh, I thought you were going to say since you decided to be a wrestling promoter. I have to say that's part of the game, man.
But for the guys that don't know, WrestlingWeekly.com is, promoting a indie wrestling show in southern Indiana this weekend. And we've got, of course... XWWE or Rosie is going to be on hand, and of course we got old Johnny Heartbreaker himself, Romeo Rosselli, is going to be on the show, and there's going to be a very special man in the audience
and a cast of thousands.
Yes, cast of thousands.
Okay,
but there's going to be a special man in the audience. I hear.
I don't know about the special, but anyway, yeah, I'm going to come down. I'm going to ride down with Rosie. Give us a chance to chat. And in truth, I just love the road. What can I say? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know how many millions of miles I traveled during my tenure as a wrestler, and then of course as a commentator, I had to travel some too. But yes, I'm coming. And for those in the chat room, wonder if Doc and I have met. We will. He will probably rue the day and possibly commit suicide after. But hey,
it will be filmed. The first moment that Doc and Les meet, will Les slap me?
Will he shake me?
I do want to bring,
for those who are listening or in the chat room, Doc knows nothing about this. And first of all, I want to say I'm not mad at anybody. I don't hate anybody. But I check the website every day. I go to Wrestling Weekly. I don't do message boards and I don't do chat rooms myself because I just don't.
Right.
But the one thing, I saw this and I've been thinking about it and it bothered me and I'm going to bring it up. Steve Corino being on last week and the headline to get you to listen to that was Les went on one of his famous rants. And Les is no. My point is I can't talk about my business negative or positive without getting it's heartfelt.
It's passionate.
I don't want to be a sensationalist, and that's not what I'm interested in being known for either. I plan nothing for these shows. I mean, I know who the guests are sometimes. Doc actually lets me know before we go on the air. And if it's not somebody I know well, then I may write down a few questions. But I don't come on and plan to do anything. And my point is, I'm going to ask publicly not to advertise Les's famous rants because Les doesn't want to be famous for his rants. I can be famous for being a jackass. I don't care. But not, I would hope the fans come to this show for the guest, for a different perspective on the wrestling on wrestling issues, and not the rants. And I just I, you know, That's not who I am. I don't want to do the National Enquirer. I know there are people that do these talk shows around the country that try to get as sensationalism, much sensationalism involved as they can. And that's not my gig. I do this because I love my business. And when something negative happens, it happens. I was over at HWA last night, and you know, I'm very candid with how I deal with the kids I train, and I guess I'm a cross between Bobby Knight and Bill Parcells, which is not to say that I'm as good as either one of them, but I mean in terms of how I get involved. So anyway, you won't see that on our website ever again.
Okay.
Or you won't see me ever again, whichever the case may be. I'm not interested in being noted. Or I don't want, hey, let's go in here with the old man and lose his mind and whatever. But anyway, I mean.
I think you're taking the whole thing wrong, though.
Well, I certainly am.
It's sort of like in the chat room, when you do go on a spiel, they love it. They like to listen to it. It's not in a sensationalistic manner either.
Well,
it's because
I honestly, a couple people have sent me emails, and I appreciate saying, you know, that I'm saying what they think, and I'm just saying what I feel. You know,
mm-hmm.
My column this week and on Insider will deal with, because I got some emails from my column last week that about blow up dolls and but to me it's not. I've spent 46 years in this business, and I realized 46 years ago that everyone didn't respect the industry or the people in it. I feel and have always felt and still feel that part of my job, as long as I'm part of the industry, is to, you know, try to dispel that.
Mm-hmm.
And make them respect, because even if I say, well, I didn't like so-and-so's match or I didn't like what they did. Well, first of all, they're paid to do that and they're doing what they're told to do. And with so few jobs in the industry currently, they have two choices. I mean, we had, you know, with 30 territories, between 1960 and 1980 when I wrestled, if I didn't agree with a booker or the style of wrestling, I can always move on.
Right.
You know, that's not a possibility any longer. Well, first of all, everyone has contracts now, and our contracts then were a handshake and word of mouth. Nothing was written down. I'm not mad to wrestlers that do goofy things because they're told to do that. They're paid to do that.
I understand what you're saying. Somebody might read that and think, "Oh, well, Les is the old guy who hates wrestling and hates everything."
But I want fans prospective fans or whoever to respect the athletes for what they are, athletes. Not clowns, and to respect what it takes to be good at this business, because it's not an easy pursuit.
I think next time we'll put less taught class.
Well, I don't even. Let me say, I don't know how this is going to come across, but I've had recognition, and I'm not looking for recognition. You know, I just.
Well, you're on the show too. You have to get some recognition.
I know, but I just, you know, what I say is what I feel,
mm-hmm.
And I feel it. My only value on this show or any show is that having worked inside, and well, Joe Hamilton said he had two different careers or three different careers, whatever it was, in the same industry, and I have too. You know, I've been a wrestler, I've been a producer, host. Four, I guess, if you get into what I did with as a magazine editor and as a trainer.
You've done everything but sell popcorn at the stand.
Well, I probably have done that too. I'm not looking for accolades or controversy or anything else. Here's what I think from being in the industry for what it's worth. That's all I feel like I'm presenting. So we can move past this and get on with it, or less we'll get in another famous rant.
Sounds good.
Michael Hayes is a new head writer for SmackDown, which means what exactly? Nothing, because he's still got to do what they want done. And when I say that, Michael, the one thing that he brought to the table as one of the Freebirds was obviously his promo skills, and he had a good creative mind for the business. Whether that equates into making SmackDown a better show, well, that remains to be seen, obviously.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from Michael Hayes or even the old writer, Alex Greenfield. You could put a monkey in there and call it what you want, but as long as he can write and can understand what you're telling him to write, I think anybody could do that job.
Well, see, you know, again, though, I mentioned earlier, there are two major companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Period, end of story. Okay. So you can bring in three Oscar-winning writers.
Right.
But once they understand that their job is predominantly to entertain to appease the owners or satisfy the owner's taste, not necessarily the general public's, then that takes away a portion of their creativity.
And the work's always going to come out the same.
Well, yes, that's true.
Or at least very similar.
I can say I was over at HWA last night. I didn't see the show. A friend of mine called me today who is involved in the wrestling business, and I said, what did I miss? And he said, nothing.
Wow.
And told me a little bit about it. But, I mean, you know, again, it's a shortcut, you know. There's good talent there. My God. I mean, they really are. So DX, instead of beating those three teams one at a time, he beat all three at the same time. Which leaves, and my problem with this goes, and it's not about DX, it's not about anybody in particular, it's the situation. How do you put heat on anybody else when two guys beat six guys?
I know. When that match was going on last night on Raw, I was just imagining you throwing stuff at the television.
Well, I was busy yelling at young kids in the HWA. when my friend called and when he mentioned, I said, you're kidding me. No, I said, man, that's just. But see, it does not make good logic. It doesn't make good sense. And when I say that, those rosters are shallow now with experienced people. So it's just, it makes good sense to keep guys at least. Well, back in the day, even if DX had beaten one of these teams in over a three match program is what we used to call it, or storyline is what you got, you know, what current terminology is, then those guys would have been given some baby faces of a lesser light to get their steam back.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's built around one or two programs. My other question is, how many times can Edge and Cena work on free TV and still be expected to draw pay-per-view buys?
I think that was it.
Well, when I say that, it's not about them necessarily. But if you put the two greatest workers of all time, whoever you might think they are, together, they can only get so much mileage out of one program. Now, they can be separated, go their separate ways in terms of being used in different storylines, and
right.
A year later come back and do more business, or
mm-hmm.
6 months later, depending on the situation. But they only have so much mileage that they can get out of out of one run.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, but again, the rosters are shallow, so why would you waste it on free television?
Was last night, was that the blow-off match?
I don't know. Was it?
I'm
not sure anymore. What's the blow-off match? Dixie. Speaking of upset, Dixie Carter's upset with the media response over their hiring of Kurt Angle, and I think the people inside that company tell me she's a fine lady, and the people that tell me, I have every reason to believe that they're telling me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think she's actually reading what is being written. I don't think anybody's mad about it. I personally said, you know, it's a great thing for them. My only question is Kurt's health.
Right.
And that's not to say that they're bad people because they signed him. Put myself in the same situation. First of all, I want to see your doctor. You know, okay, you're not quite healed. You're 50%. You're set. Whatever the deal is, we'll work around it because you're a good promo guy. I wouldn't even bring put him on TV until this their 9 o'clock thing. When they, is that in November, what, the 16th or something?
Yeah, I believe so.
Go to 9 o'clock, I would wait and put him on the show live at that point in time.
On the debut, right at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, they had that warehouse in Nashville set up for the training, and I would let people watch him getting back in shape, you know, because it's common knowledge through websites and talk shows and everything else that he's had a laundry list of injuries, you know.
Yeah.
And I think Miss Carter, just misinterprets the whole thing. I haven't read anybody where they said the people in TNA are bad people because they hired Kurt Angle or they did the wrong thing. It's just I think everyone respects Angle, what he's done, what he and in such a short time that he's probably one of the greatest workers ever, but obviously one of the very best today when he's on and when he's healthy. And I think it's going to add to the competition. I think it's going to be, honestly, come closer to being competition. And when I say that, I'm not trying to make anybody at TNA mad, but they're honestly not not competition at WWE.
No, unless, well Velocity's not on anymore.
When you look at the ratings and look at the buy rates and the pay-per-views and look at the scope of their shows, they're not. You know, and again, that's... And you know what? I wish TNA was competition to WWE. I wish there were an ABC promotion that was competition to both of them and a fourth. Because the more there is, the more competition, the more wrestlers get work and can earn a living at this industry. Realize, like I said earlier, during my career, there were 30 territories, plus Japan, plus Australia. You could make a living. I never had to look for a job. I see young guys now who are balancing, a full-time job and trying to get a tryout, and I know it's tough. It's not easy, and so I'd like to see a half dozen promotions the size of WWE.
Yeah, but not run by WWE.
Well, no, you're right. Well, I mean, then that's not competition.
Right.
That's monopoly, and I think, honestly, I think Vince would welcome competition. I think he's at his best when he's in competition. And I think you'd see a lot of the comedy disappear.
He is, but I don't think he'd want somebody nipping at his heels like WCW did.
Well, I don't know,
As long as they were far second competition.
I think all of us in the industry, the baseball players that rise to the top of whatever it is that, category they're in, or football players or basketball players or actors or anybody, is because they are competitive, and probably never satisfied, maybe perfectionists even. But I think Vince, would welcome the competition. I don't say he's bored, but I'd say he's probably complacent.
Yeah. I'd go there.
Yeah. So, I think... the Monday Night Wars made it, especially when they were behind, cranked his adrenaline up and made him a better person in terms of being of creative and so forth. So, yeah, I think it would be good for the industry.
I can't imagine what new innovations there could possibly be for wrestling.
Well, it's not going to happen, Doc, I don't believe. And when I say that, again, my stance is if I were in control of TNA, and up front, I don't want to be a writer for anybody, small company, a big company, or any other. I don't feel that's one of my strong suits. Now, you can lay out a scenario for me, and I'll tweak it for you,
mm-hmm.
and make it make sense. But for me, just to start from scratch, I've done it, but I don't think it comes easy to me. Anyway, I just think that the point here is, somebody needs to get back closer to the basics, make more of a drama opposed to a comedy. And to do that and to win over the current fans who are there and bring back some of the older ones and make some new ones, it would take time and money.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to say, the Panda Energy with TNA has coughed up to whatever the going price is now, $20 million, $25 million, I don't know, a lot of money. No doubt, but it takes more than that, because they have had the opportunity to establish some new stars, and they have to a certain degree, but they haven't made them household names. And to go back, to back up a bit and change their style. See, and the other problem with that is I appreciate what WWE does with, like, slowing the style down, making the guys work a little more grounded. Simply, it gives them more longevity. It keeps their health in check, and that's what wrestling is anyway. But then somebody in the chat, in a message board, is saying, who's never taken a bump. Right. I guarantee you that anybody that talks that way, give us that person for 10 minutes in a wrestling ring, and they'll understand why. WWE's doing what they're doing. But I think that's, again, people are gravitating. Some of the kids I was talking to last night at HWA, yeah, I said, "Do you watch UFC?" "Oh yeah, yeah." "And do you see a lot of comedy?" "No." "Oh, and well, why is it growing then?" "Well, gee, it's real." "No, it's not about me. I mean, you know, our business is not real." "I know that. But then movies aren't real."
"Right.
And you've heard me sing this song before, right?" You know, but that's my whole thing. I think some company needs to be the opposite of what everybody's trying to be. TNA has the opportunity. They have a lot of the same talent that Ring of Honor uses. And I think, except for the people that go to Ring of Honor to watch 135-pound guys kill each other with goofy bumps, it's because Nigel and Brian Danielson went 60 minutes in a wrestling match, or Kenta and Samoa Joe blew the roof off the place. But I can guarantee, I mean, they took bumps, but it wasn't a spot fest. It wasn't an aerial acrobatic exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
It was competitive professional wrestling. And I think that's what, and to us, if you and I had the unlimited funds, we would have to blow a lot of it to establish that and get the, because it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
You know?
Speaking of Ring of Honor, Professor VNS in the chat room is asking if you saw the Weekend of Champions this past April.
No, I did not. I didn't. And I tell you, one of the things I wish I had the opportunity, it's kind of like CDs. I made like four songs out of a dozen, so sometimes I don't buy the CD for that reason, right?
Right.
But, I mean, I would love to see Joe and Kenta. I would love to see Nigel and Marufuji, and so on and so forth, because that's the type. And Davey Richards, who we had on the show, who is really coming along. That's what I like. That's my gig, and I wish I had more opportunities to see him. I do intend to go to the next Ring of Honor show. I haven't been to the last couple. My wife is... was sick one night, and then it was just something else came up. But they're in Dayton, I think. It's at the end of this month or next month, November, I think. They're in Dayton.
November, I think.
Yeah, which is just 50 miles up the road from me, so it's not a bad jump at all. It's not like going to Vincennes, Indiana, man.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I actually made a deal with this bar that's near the venue, and they're gonna. We're going to have an after party there, and they're going to give all the wrestlers free beer.
Yes. Well, I imagine probably Rosie and I will. Our after party will be in his
car
his
on the way
car
home.
On the way home, yes, because it's not going to be a short trip.
No, absolutely will not.
Kid Cash was released by
yes.
WWE. You know, there's a guy with a heck of a talent, and I guess it's attitude. I met him a long time ago when Ricky Morton was first breaking him into business, but I don't really know him.
With so much attitude in that he sometimes just says things that come out wrong.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's just like he says it before he thinks.
Well, you know, it's like when he was in TNA, and I know he made some public statements that, well, I'm better than this guy or better than that guy. Listen, I think any of us that spent any amount of time in this business can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when David Crockett was wrestling as David Finlay, because not like Fit Finlay, but because that was his middle name, David Finlay Crockett, and that's the way he wrestled. A lot of guys in the territory had to put him over, and I'm sure every one of them was a lot better than him because for no other reason than they had more experience. But did they like it? No. But it was part of your job, and you went on and you did it. Did they? And the thing of it is, they probably might have gone home and kicked holes in the garage wall because of it, you know, or screamed at their wife or kicked the cat or whatever. But they didn't go to the press with it. That's the, you know, and that you see the same thing in pro sports, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense to knock the coach publicly, even if you happen to be right. In fact, it's worse if you're right, especially if he knows you're right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's kind of like in the locker room, what happens here stays here, you know.
Right.
So, enough as it is now with a lot of the people that do columns and websites and newsletters and stuff have inside sources, you know, so.
Also released last week, Just Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. PJ's a good kid. I really like him. He spent some time with me when I had the WWE developmental deal, and he was here with me for a while, and I really like him. I don't know what is, maybe he's got family problems, personal problems, or just what, you know. But I know he loves the business, and, you know, I can say for all those guys, when he and Raven and Dreamer and Stevie Richards were all here with me at the same time, these guys busted their hump here. I mean, on the small shows, you know, because they enjoy what they're doing.
Right.
And I know PJ does, too, at the 2000 Pillman, where Benoit and Regal had their great match. PJ worked with Scotty with Raven, and they tore it up. Bled, Double Juice, you know, Table. I mean, the whole nine yards. And when they came to the back, Raven said, "I'm sorry." And I said, "You're what? I'm sorry." I said, "Sorry for what?" "Well, we didn't, you know, we could have done better." I said, "Man." let me say this. What, I don't care their politics. I don't care their sexual persuasion. And I'm not saying that he has a funny sexual persuasion. But I mean, when people have that work ethic and that attitude, man, they have my undying respect. I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
And PJ was that way with me. So I, you know, whatever the problems are here currently, I hope he resolves them. I know he loves the business, and I, you know, again, there's not a lot of places to get a contract, so. Yeah, but from what I understand, for the most part, the ECW guys aren't on huge numbers anyway.
No.
You know, and again, which is, if there were, you know, if there were four or five companies, then everybody would be making more money.
Yeah. Well, about Credible, PW Insider, they're kind of reporting he no-showed at ECW taping.
Yeah.
And he was kind of lax on returning phone calls with them. And it was just kind of hard to get a hold of him. And they didn't really like that. And, you know, from everything that I've heard about, you know, from other people talking about Justin, I don't know him or anything. But from what I heard, that's just not like him.
No. Well, you know, and when you say they don't like that, I don't like that.
Oh, nobody likes that.
There was a kid walked into practice an hour and a half late last night. And I said, you know, I said something about it. And he said, well, you know, he gave me an excuse. I said, is there a phone where you're at? Yeah. I said, okay, then pick a damn thing up and use it. That's all.
Right.
There's a structure to this business, and it is a business, you know. So if you're not going to show up at work, you call. You know, just like the guy that works at the insurance company or the guy that works at the Ford plant. You know, it's no different. So, yeah, I can side with WWE on that. If he weren't going to be there, he should realize this with the developmental, and I don't think this has changed with Joe's Deep South or Danny's OVW. I fill out an attendance record every day, and if somebody wasn't here, there had to be something in that block. They, you know, like they were up doing Raw, or they were sick, or they had a broken leg, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Right. And at the end of the week on Friday, I faxed that to the office. So the other thing I tell a lot of kids, and everybody's not making six figures, obviously. But I said, if you're looking for a job for six figures, that comes with some rules and regulations and hard work. You know,
was this attendance thing required by WWE?
Oh yes,
yeah,
absolutely. And I weighed everybody in every week.
What if you
remember Rosie said about my structure is one of the things that got him to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked, I mean, the weight, you know, we weighed everybody on Monday, everybody, and not just Rosie. We weighed everybody and took attendance, and that was all, you know, because they want, well, they're paying these guys to learn, right?
Right.
So
can't learn if you're not there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what else is going on? Saddler's, whatever the hell they call his company that runs with TNA talent, I guess they did a fair house in Richmond.
UWA.
Yeah, okay. They did what, over 1,000 people?
Yeah, but the reports I'm hearing is that they lost money, and it was a really small attendance due to the fact that they had a lot of TNA talent.
Well,
they thought it really should have been a bigger attendance.
Well, you know what, and I don't know if I told you. Yeah, I did. When Gutman was on with us, I said, and I won't say where I heard it. It wasn't, but I heard that Sadler was going to run through the end of the year and then shut down. You know, because he was going in the hole on every show.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Well, you know, okay, you're promoting. You're bringing in two guys that have names.
Yes.
Right? But they're neither one currently on television, so that dilutes the price a little bit.
Yes.
Okay? But Styles is going to get top buck.
Mm-hmm.
The price is going to go up 15% because that goes to TNA.
Right.
You know, so if he gets 1,000, and I don't know what he gets because I'm not running shows, but if he gets 1,000, now it becomes 1,150.
Uh-huh.
And so forth and so on, right? Well, how many tickets do you have to sell?
Quite a bit.
Sure. And everybody on those, there are no independent guys on those shows. It's all TNA talent.
Yeah.
A smart guy, if he understood, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I'm not saying he's not a smart guy. But a good common sense as far as our business is concerned, if you know you're not going to draw big, then put some independent guys lower on the card. Let them work with some, even the better independent guys, work with some of the TNA guys and get that rub so that you can continue to run.
Right.
You know? And it's good learning, you know.
That is what I'm trying to do.
Yes. Well, you know, that's, you know, that makes sense.
We may have a third sort of guy who's been on TV by the end of the weekend. There's a guy on their show. He wrestles for All-Star Wrestling. All-American Wrestling. In the Chicago area, it's Danny Daniels' promotion.
Uh-huh.
His name is Robert Ego Anthony.
Okay.
And he's going to be at the show this weekend. WWE is taking a look at him. He was at backstage.
Okay, but does that TV come into your town?
Yeah.
It does? I mean, I know WWE comes into your town. that's what the TV that he's on in Chicago come into your town.
No.
Okay. Then, and again, I'm not cutting on you, but then his TV is that's no value to you. Why start?
What I'm saying is that he's at Raw last night. He's at SmackDown tonight.
Oh, he's good talent, is what you're saying.
And,
yeah.
Oh yeah. And
yeah, Chad Collier is doing something with WWE tonight. Why am I saying that? Well, because over at HWA last night, he's their current champion.
Mm-hmm.
They were telling me that they didn't have him for TV tonight simply because he was doing something for WWE.
Ah.
Yeah, good. He's a great talent. He really is. He's a young version of Dean Malenko, a little bigger. But he's got a great background. He was qualified for the Olympic trials in college. And anyway, and a good work ethic, good personality. So, yeah. Well, that's good. And then this guy's got a little talent too.
Yeah, and he may even show up on SmackDown in a squash match or something like that. So that'd be pretty cool if he did.
Yeah.
Moving on with some more Kurt Angle news. Of course, if you didn't know, Kurt Angle's deal with TNA is exclusive. He's not going to be doing MMA. The length of the deal remains unknown right now. But as we reported last week, the announcement that Angle was going to enter mixed martial arts in 2007 turned out to be planned to prevent anyone from thinking he was going to TNA.
Well, actually, no. He did talk to them. In fact, from what I understand, through a fairly reliable source, Dana White kind of figured that he had, I wouldn't say had Angle in his pocket, but was relatively sure he was going to get Angle because
mm-hmm.
From what I was told, he was planning on signing Daniel Puerter probably within the next week or so because that was something they were going to build to.
Mm-hmm. I think what it was he was talking to these guys, but by the time the announcement came out, the press release came out that he wanted to join MMA, he had already made up his mind he was going to TNA.
Yeah.
Well,
I think for TNA it's best he doesn't because in the real situation. Well, first of all, you know we know he's a great mat wrestler, but. MMA is not done by NCAA rules necessarily.
Right.
Plus his stand up, I don't have a clue about how he is as a puncher or he's starting from scratch. No matter what his past record, you know, as an Olympic wrestler, so forth and so on, this is starting all over again.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame.
So if he were to go out there and get beat, and that's not a an impossibility,
no.
You know, then that does nothing for TNA either.
No.
You know, that was like, if you remember, they were using Shamrock, and if they were still using Kenny, and anyone had watched his last two fights with Ortiz, it would have been damaged. I'm going to watch the freebie.
I'm not going to watch
the strip poker. I'm not going to watch. I'm anxious to see, because I think Shamrock has still got it between the ears. And I think if, of course, I don't know Ortiz or his mindset, but if he takes Shamrock too lightly, you know, even though the old saying, even the blind hog root an acorn now and again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not impossible for Shamrock to come up with a win. I mean, given enough time, because he's been down that road, it's just, you know, that particular sport plus professional wrestling is taking its toll on him.
Right, you could be a great Olympic wrestler, but when you're wrestling, there's no rule that says the other guy can't punch you in the face when you're trying to get him down.
Well, you know, that's like somebody said to me in a conversation last night, they'd like to see Bob Sapp and Brock Lesnar, and I said, no, I would have to go with Lesnar, even though Sapp has been doing the MMA, but I know Lesnar on the ground is going to wrestle the ass off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what the stand-up's going to be like, but I also have seen enough of Sapp's the clips and stuff that they run on Fox Sports and so forth, that he's not a marathon runner.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to you earlier. He's not, probably won't get to you at all.
Yeah, and he looks like he could take a punch or two.
And Lesnar's not a small guy either.
No.
You know, and he is extremely mobile for his size. You know, so you know, I don't know, that matchup might not happen, but I don't see it as being, you know, a great fight. So,
I don't know. I think any fight could be a great fight.
Well, yeah.
Depending on how it goes, but you know, I think any two guys can get in there as long as they're even and it's a good match. That it could turn out to be great, even by two unknowns. You know.
Well, here again, I don't remember names because I'm not that obsessed with it. But the two guys, the one kid that tested positive for steroids in this last UFC fight, and there was the kid from Georgia and this guy from New York. But anyway, it was their second fight, and they clubbed the hell out of each other their first time around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they were given the rematch, because it was such a, you know, obviously they expected a good fight out of them, or they wouldn't have put them out there.
Right.
But they didn't expect the fight they got.
Yeah.
You know, so, well, and again, you don't know. Somebody can step up to the plate and be extremely much better than what is anticipated.
Yeah, that's part of the charm.
You know, that's the other thing, too, and when I say this, I'm not saying that these matches are worked or they're fixed. That's not the case at all. But in boxing, well, past, you know, way back before I was born, MMA's doing the same thing, is if you're trying to build somebody, you're going to give them not a setup necessarily, but somebody you feel pretty certain that they're going to beat.
Yeah.
You know? And I think there would have been the downs as a promoter, would have been the downside with Angle, because of his fame, because of his high profile, you can't afford to give him setups because it will be obvious.
Yeah.
So you'd have to throw him in with Ortiz or Lydell, or I'm just throwing names out, obviously.
And if he loses, wow.
Exactly.
It's all over.
But you can't stick him out there with some unknown to start with, because it's obvious what you're doing.
Maybe for the very first match, I think you could.
Well, maybe you get away with one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you couldn't book it too high. I mean, his name is going to draw curiosity the first time, you know. And
so you're talking about Stephen Bonner?
Yeah.
He tested
Bonner, and what's the other kid's name? The other
Forrest
kid's
Griffin.
A natural baby face. He just comes across with that, aw, shucks.
Forrest Griffin?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Bonner and Griffin.
That threw me off because Bonner's from Indiana.
I thought he was from New York.
No, he grew up in a town called Munster, which I used to live right next to that town. That's how I remember that. But
Josh Rafferty, who was in the first UFC reality show, is training at HWA.
Really?
Well, Rich Franklin's place is right up the road here.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Franklin's a local celebrity.
I didn't know Bonner tested positive for steroids. That was wow.
Yeah. I watch UFC, but I'm not immersed in it, and so I don't remember all the names. I know there are weight classes, and I don't really pay attention to that. I'll tell you the one thing they're doing that we used to do on wrestling, and could be doing again, is the great buildups. That they do the hour special, taking the first half of the show, half the show for one fighter and half for the other, and
you get to
show their training and get their comments and
see them at home with their family and stuff like that. Yeah.
I think that's all good, man.
I want to get back to that in a minute, but I don't know if you knew, but the Wrestling Observer is reporting right now that the way things stand right now, UFC and ECW is not going to be going head to head next weekend.
No, I didn't know that.
Apparently.
Next weekend?
Or, I'm sorry, next week.
Okay.
Apparently, UFC is scheduling the special from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Which means it'll be, on right during this show.
Yeah, and I'll probably be sick.
Yeah. If Les doesn't show up next week, you all know what happened.
You know, I had thought, and I'm not sure that I'll ever do this, but it crossed my mind because I'm back working with HWA a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's my old company, right? And I left a lot of myself there.
Right.
But they do their TV taping on Tuesday nights, and I know a couple of guys who said, well, are you coming by? And I said, well, I can't. But I was thinking that I might possibly go over there and in the first hour or so, put some of their guys on the phone with you. I guess they've probably even got an extension where I can get on with them, too. But we could do that up in the office where we wouldn't get all the noise and the craziness from the arena.
You want to do this every week? Or?
No. I was just thinking I might do it once. No, absolutely not. No.
Yeah, doing it once, that'd be great.
I don't know when. It was just a thought that struck me, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That sounds like a good idea.
Oh. Well, good. I'm glad I have a good idea once in a while.
Shoot, I can't remember. I just said that I wanted to come back to a topic, and I don't remember what we were saying.
We're talking about the build-up for the UFC fight.
Oh, yes. There's some new reports going on about TNA that Spike, once they move to the new time slot, are going to offer them specials. And some sort of build-ups to the pay-per-views, which would be a lot similar to what UFC is doing right now, profiling two guys, who are going to be in a big match and do that sort of thing. So that's another, sort of upgrade that TNA could be getting this year.
Well, you know what? Even in an hour, that can be done and be done well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the whole hour to profile two guys, but you can use the clips instead of putting funny things. Don't get me wrong, I think Eric Young is funny, and it seems like a nice kid from having him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go a week without Eric running around saying, I don't want to get fired.
Right.
And instead of Borash doing behind-the-scenes interviews that sometimes are just fillers because they're not really important necessarily in the overall scheme of things, you could use that time to profile guys.
Mm-hmm.
As recent as when I had HWA and we had the WWE contract, I did a 5-minute segment in the middle of the show, a pre-taped in the middle of the show called Hanging With, like Hanging With Doc. Today I'm hanging with Doc Young. But we talking about Rosie is going to be on your show. The first we did, I think, was with Umaga and Rosie, and it was about their background with their relatives and, how they were like second or third generation in the business and what that, entailed in terms of putting pressure on them and so forth and so on. Because I think people, if you just see guys go out and cut promos on one another and wrestle, that's kind of one-dimensional.
Right.
I watched Ohio State and Iowa, and I thought it was cool because Animal was there to watch his son, who had another pick, man, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
The guy's got four or five interceptions over the and the season's still young. But they the cameras would go to Joe, to Animal every once in a while, you know, to show his expressions and stuff, and they were talking. And I think, you know, there again, that gives his son another dimension. He's not just the nameless linebacker number 33. You know?
Right.
I think...
I feel like WWE kind of stays away from that kind of thing because they feel it'll ruin their character.
Well, see, I well, you know, and it's not that you necessarily have to take somebody out of character, but, you know, well, it was back when I first started doing personality profile in Southeastern Wrestling in the 70s. That was a taboo thing. I had guys from my generation and guys who would, you know, were veterans had started the generation before me. So you can't do that. What do you mean I can't do that? Well, you just can't do a low-key sit-down interview in the middle of a show. Why? Well, because it's not done. Why is it not done? Well, it changes, you know, the momentum of the show. But you can only keep people up for you. You know, one of the things that if a reputable trainer teaches a wrestler is you don't run it in high gear or low gear mm-hmm. constantly. It's you take people on an emotional roller coaster ride. And my thought was, you know, especially, you know, that okay, we sit down with Doc Young and we talk about his hobbies, his school background. And everything, and here, hey, Doc Young's a human being. And then you go out and kick butt,
yeah.
You know, in the segment following that. So it's just, you know, again, it establishes that the person has more than one side. And I think that's been proven in, well, what is NASCAR? Hey, so-and-so's driving the same car that I'm driving. So I'm for him. I don't know him, I don't, you know, but... There's that identification thing. Right?
Yeah, I was watching NASCAR, and this guy had a McDonald's ad on his car, and I was like, wow, I'm eating McDonald's. Go, God.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Well, okay, Doc.
Of course, the way
whatever
I put
you
it,
say, Doc.
When I put it that way, it sounds stupid, but you know what I mean. but anyways,
you
more
said that, I did.
Some more TNA news. Team 3D, as you saw, returned last Thursday.
Yeah.
And they've come to terms with TNA on a new one-year deal.
Yeah.
Deal has an option for a second year as well. According to reports, they were overheard telling people at the tapings last Monday that TNA is the best place for them to be right now.
Well, you know, it's there's not a lot of choices. You know.
No, there really isn't.
I mean, when I say that, but you know, to be... to be given more leeway
mm-hmm.
creatively, yeah. If that's the case, and I think that's what I wouldn't agree that Angle was held back in WWE, which was a comment apparently he made on an interview or something, a letter he wrote to Dixie Carter, or I'm not sure the origin, but you know that he was held back. I he said he wasn't always happy. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
You know. But I do doubt that he was held back.
Yeah, he won every title they ever had.
I but you know the thing of it is, there were times that when they had him doing the comedy, and it wasn't that he wasn't entertaining. I just think it affected his drawing power. You know,
like the commissioner angle.
Yeah, or even some of the other things where they made him into like a doofus. You know,
mm-hmm.
See, I don't see that. I remember when Mark Henry first came up, and I first saw him here in Cincinnati at the old Garden, and they did a Raw there. And I said to one of the people who worked in the company that they had him wearing the all the red, white, and blue stars and stripes gimmicks and a beret. And I said, this is an Olympic athlete. Why are you making him look like a clown? You know,
mm-hmm.
just the fact that he's been to the Olympics. Supersedes everything. It should, at least in this country.
Yeah, it should.
You know? Well, stop and think how many athletes have hung their hat on an Olympic win or just being there and never did anything past that.
Yeah.
You know? And have made a living.
Mark Henry. No,
well,
I'm kidding.
I like Mark. I'll tell you what. Yeah, he and Hugh Morris had a hell of a match at the last Pillman show we did 2001. And, I mean, for two big guys, they went out there and kicked it. And it was, I like it. Mark had an attitude when he first came in which Dr. Tom would tell you because Dr. Tom trained him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm proud of this. I sat down with he and his fiance at Cincinnati Gardens one time, and I don't even remember saying this to him, but he came when he was in OVW, and we got to spend some time together. I said how he thinks it picked up. He said, "Well, I took what you said seriously," and I just looked at him like, "Huh? What are we talking about?" And he said, "Well, you know, when you and my fiance and I were sitting at the garden talking, you said you have to study and work hard to master your craft because it's you know it's not an easy pursuit." And I said, "Wow, okay, cool. You know, I feel good about that if that you know stuck in his mind."
Yeah.
But yeah, he's worked hard. He's had some bad, you know, and this last push, I was so happy for him because he really is a good guy.
He had a lot of string of bad luck, though.
Well, and he was given a lot of doofus storylines, too.
True.
Right? The whole thing with having a baby with Mae Young, and I mean, come on. You know?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Well, yeah.
The other thing.
Either one of two things. I don't think that the people that write that stuff understand or don't care. But when you take somebody, you know, perception is reality. You hear that all the time, and people in WWE saying that. Yes, okay, then why would you make an Olympic athlete into a doofus? You know?
Ran out of good ideas?
Huh?
They ran out of good ideas?
Well, I'm trying to think the last time they had a good idea. I guess there's been rumors that because Bischoff mentioned NWO last night or something, but I think from what I've heard and a couple people I've talked to is that, no, NWO is not even in you know.
In the cards. Good.
Well, you know, Scott Hall hasn't wrestled in forever.
Right.
You know, Kevin is accident prone at this point, sadly enough.
Right.
And when they had NWO there the last time, it didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
In a combination of things, because if they'd have brought him in early on, you know, 3 or 4 years before that, it probably would have done business, even with bad storylines. But the storylines weren't any good either.
No.
So I don't know that.
They had Hogan. What did it take Hogan? 2 weeks, I think, to turn on him. Or?
Yeah, something like that.
It was just
everything was just rushed and done halfway. And
yeah.
Now I understand for when is the 3-hour show? Is that next week?
That's next week.
Okay.
It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern.
I'll miss that too.
Where are you going to be on Monday?
I'm going to be over at HWA. Uh-huh. I told you I'm pitching in over there a little bit. Well, they've got a good time slot here. They follow OVW on the new CW network.
Really?
At 2 to 3 on Saturday afternoon.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to help. They've got some young guys who are just getting their, you know, just getting their wings, so to speak, the details, you know, the advanced stuff is what I'm working with these kids on.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is a great time slot for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Cincinnati is one of the top 50 markets in the country.
He'd go over there and whip those guys into shape, Les.
Well, I'm trying. I told him, I said, you may not like me when this is over, but you'll be a better wrestler regardless. So
You
know, I'm not trying to, Springer said on Dance with the Stars, he wanted to win Miss Congeniality. I'm not concerned with that. I just want to turn on my TV and say, hey, I helped make this guy what he is, or, you know, or push him to become what he is. So that's, you know, that's cool. But, yeah, they've got a great time slot, and I like it would help their little house shows, you know, if they can put some decent storylines out there capture a good audience. And years ago, that slot, most promotions would have killed to get their hands on, 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
That's true.
I mean, that was we had that Southeastern Wrestling in Knoxville, and it was great. It was a great slot for us for a number of years.
A lot of people's local shows, they come on 1-2 in the morning.
Well, yeah, that would be death back in the day because there weren't any VCRs or TiVos or DVRs
or Insomniacs.
Well, you know what? Here's the funny thing: if I remember when, for whatever reason, Georgia Championship Wrestling was switched to like 11 o'clock on, I don't know, it was 11 o'clock on Saturday night or midnight for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Ed Caprell, who was the host at that time, telling me that he got some letters, like one, and I remember because it was from some elderly lady who, so that she could see George Championship Wrestling, would go to bed early on Saturday evening and set her alarm clock and get up to watch the show because, you know, again, this is before, you know, tape recorders and all that stuff.
Right. It was like so, early 70s.
Yeah. So, you know, that, and that's the thing, too. If you, if your product's hot, people will find you. You don't have to, you know. So, and that's the thing, too. You can give, I don't care if it's TNA, WWE, Ring of Honor, whoever, you can give them the greatest time slot in the world. But if the product is not of value, then it doesn't matter. It makes no difference whatsoever.
Absolutely.
You know?
Let's get back to some of the WWE news. John Bradshaw Layfield has responded to the recent rumors that he was going to leave WWE. In an interview posted last week on WWE.com, he claims there was some truth to the rumors and that he did want to leave announcing because he loved being in the ring so much. JBL claims by the time word got out that he was planning on leaving, he had already approached the company about staying. It's pretty harsh words for whoever leaked the information.
It's you, I think, probably. I don't, you know what? I hear all the stories about John. Now, we've never been close. We've never gone out drinking together. But when I see him, he's always polite, respectful. We chat a little bit.
He's never tried to rib you?
Huh?
He's never tried to rib you?
No. No. And it's not that I've never been ribbed.
Yeah.
I think everybody goes through that indoctrination in the business. At least they did back in the day, and probably still do. But, he stepped up to the plate when they gave him the Dallas, J.R. Dallas character to go with.
Yeah, he did.
He would not be one of my picks as a great mechanical wrestler, but he upped his game, you know, and along with the help of Eddie Guerrero, had some tremendous matches, and the personality's gotten across. And I think he brings something to the table with, when he's working the SmackDown desk. So.
Yeah, he did a lot with the character. It was sort of, in my opinion, a one-dimensional character and sort of a prototype character,
yeah.
You know, of,
yeah.
You know, one could fit the other. And I think he did a lot with that. I kind of think he went over the top and relied on some cheap heat when he was kicking Mexicans across the border.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that because I was just sitting here thinking if I had any problem with it at all, that would have been it,
yeah.
You know. It was just, I don't know, I just, that you know, again, though, he's in part doing what's written for him.
Right.
So, you know, it's, I just, that's the race card,
it's just so easy to pull out.
Well, and it's what they're doing with Benjamin now, you know, when
yes.
They had him do that little, I'm thinking, oh, come on.
I know.
You know,
it's like, where have I seen that before?
Because, in truth, if Sheldon has even a fraction of that in his system, I've never seen it.
I mean,
he's personable. He's a gentleman. A hell of an athlete. I mean, if he weren't in professional wrestling, he'd be a damn good. He'd be a good football player, or baseball player, basketball. He's just a tremendous athlete.
I thought what would have been more funnier is if they had the same situation and Benjamin was on SmackDown. And it was Teddy Long trying to talk him into not saying that.
Yeah.
Because Teddy went through that that storyline, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I those storylines, and maybe because I saw some of that, you know, in the South back in the day. And,
oh, yeah.
And I'm very liberal. I know my mother, when I first went South in 63, because of my liberal views, she thought that Klan would probably lynch me before I got out of the South. But to me, people are people. If you treat me bad, I don't care your color or religion. You know, I'm going to dislike you. And if you're respectful and treat me well, then I don't care about your color or religion either. I'm going to give you, back in kind. So it's just, I guess maybe because of my being liberal, I just don't see the value in that.
Speaking of stereotypes and things like that, what are your opinions on Crime Time?
I well, you know, it's, wow, I, you know, it's where are they going with the characters? Are they heels? Are they baby faces?
The rumor going around right now is they're going to be baby faces.
Well, but so we're promoting. See, I'm still crazy enough to think that children may watch wrestling still. And so, okay, hey, this is cool to be a gangster. All right, well, yeah.
That's why they had the disclaimer. Don't try this in your hood.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, but there's the other thing, too. Rather than do something so over the top, if you really want to get these guys over, see, and I think that's the problem, too. You're into this, I mean, well, in lieu of the fact you're doing this show with me, you're obviously into this more than the average casual fan, right?
Right.
So, the easier it is to determine between black and white, and I don't mean that in a racial way, but between, you know, if I don't have to sit and figure out who the heel and the baby face are, it's so much easier for me to get into the match, right?
Right.
If they're able to tell me that. And now there's a question for you, Doc, and I don't know if I've popped this on you before, but it's one that Steamboat started asking when we started doing the clinics together, and I continue to ask it, and you'd be amazed that guys who are in this business, the independent level, look at me with their mouth hanging open, and most of them don't have an answer.
Oh, God, I hope I know the answer.
Well, no. Well, there's no reason that you should, honestly, but I thought just we were talking about this. Why is a heel a heel?
Why is a heel a heel? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't do things fairly.
No, that's not the answer.
No, that's not the answer?
And I get the answer that he's ugly, or, or because he kicks and punches, but why does he do that?
Because he cheats, because he's not as good as the
babyface. Yes, but the point is, the way we try to teach this is you're a storyteller with your body language and your facial expressions and your type of your style. And one of the things that I tell these kids, I always look at it is that, well, like tonight, HWA is over there doing their TV. Okay, if I were working the show or if I were booking the show and working, you got to figure maybe two or three people is there for the first time. So they don't know that you and I have been feuding.
Right.
If I'm the baby face and you're the heel, how do we establish that? Well, you let me out-wrestle you a little bit, and you show your frustration in your body language and your facial expressions, and then when you tee off on me or pull my hair or whatever it is you do, then that's just that much clearer to them. They understand why. But if you and I just go out there and start punching and kicking each other, and I see that a lot, it's like, okay, why are they doing this? And who's who here? Because I've it's like I come to your show and didn't see Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, I've never, I know who Rosie is, and I know who Roselli is.
Right.
And Scott and Sean Casey, I think, is on the show, is he not?
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not. Okay. Well, anyway, if he were, I'd know who. But, I mean, the majority of those guys, I have no clue who's who.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and if at the end of their match I'm still scratching my head, then they didn't do their job.
Right.
So, that's what I say when I said earlier, this is not an easy business. It is not an easy business.
So I'm still confused a little bit as to what exactly the answer is, though.
Well, the answer is that I have out-wrestled you, and that's why you're a heel. But as simple as that sounds, and
because
it is the answer, and so many guys don't know it.
Because the babyface is better.
Well, he's only a babyface. Yeah, he becomes the babyface because you take shortcuts and cheat. Because you realize that he's a better wrestler than you.
Oh, so I kind of got that right, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay.
But so many guys are looking for some kind of, I don't know, hard answer or just, like I say, somebody said, well, he's ugly.
I love that.
Oh, okay. But he punches and kicks. Well, why does he punch and kick?
Did the guy who say that they were ugly, did he ever finish the camp?
There's only not been one guy, and some of the guys that say that are, I've been in the business 5 years or 6 years, or whatever. Okay, no, you've been around it.
Right.
You haven't been in it. I thought I'd bring that, we were talking about this, stereotypes and good guys and bad guys. And you know what, like Joe Hamilton was on, so many young guys think they have to yell and say derogatory things to be a heel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true either, as Joe established for us,
And Jake the Snake will show you that.
Sure.
Look at all Jake the Snake promos.
I, you know, even back in my day, there were times that I would sit and watch my own show that I was, you know, that I was a host of, or somebody's show, and every heel is basically doing almost the same interview, screaming, right, yelling. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, it's kind of like elevator music. At some point, I just
tune out.
It's there, but I'm not really paying attention. A quick example, and again, it stopped me if I've used this on the show before. When I was producing the interviews, the pre-taped interview segments for Mid-Atlantic for Crockett Promotions, we were doing our thing in Raleigh on Wednesday afternoons. It was when they first teamed Greg Valentine and Flair up. Greg is by nature a soft-spoken guy, and talks. Well, his dad was the same way. You don't know his, but I mean, I was starting to say he was like his dad, but of course, not knowing his dad, that wouldn't establish a thing. But
no.
He was soft, but more soft-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if Flair led off the interview with his, you know, his impassioned, voice-raised speech that Rick does, and then Greg would force himself to try to do the same thing. And I suggested to him, I said, just be yourself, because here's the deal: if you talk at the same level, sound level, and try to sound the same, then necessarily what you say is not going to, you know, doesn't make that big an impression over what Rick says.
Especially if you're second.
Well, yeah, but if you talk at the same level, then that person at home watching has to shift gears. They have to come to the edge of the couch to hear you. They have to tune you in more because they can hear Rick in the other room. You know, they can go out in the kitchen and listen to him, but if I'm in the kitchen and then you start at your normal level, you've just, you know, here again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, like with a match. It's peaks and valleys, right?
Right.
It's a roller coaster ride. And so that made them so much better.
You can have the roller coaster ride in the promo.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, a promo should be built like a match. You know, a match has a beginning and a middle and end. It's a story. And your promo should build to whatever your punchline is, whatever you're trying to drive home. And when you do it, and I see so many inexperienced kids that they'll hit that, and then they're out there trying to milk the people for something, and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've already made their point, and nobody's listening anymore.
Yeah, and the way you're explaining that, I can think of two perfect examples for the listeners to go and watch, just to listen to what Les is saying. Mick Foley and Terry Funk, they both do that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And they're two of the best.
Well, Rock got his point across. I'll tell you, Cena's getting better. Edge, and of course, part of that is that they probably have a little more latitude in just being their own person, since their position on the card is high as well. Started to say it's higher; it's as high as you can get. But also, they're getting a lot of promo time. You can't be good at it. Telling the kids last night. The only way you can get your timing and get your act together is getting that ring. Ring win. When we talk about, you know, I ride my stationary here twice a day now. Just why, I don't know, because I'm trying to dump a little weight, but I'm all, you know, it's also just keeps me healthier.
Yeah, it does.
But that doesn't, even if I were young, riding a stationary, if I rode it 45 minutes twice a day, it wouldn't prepare me to have a 15-minute match, because it's a whole different type of win. I give you Dennis Rodman, who was probably if not the best-conditioned cardio-wise athlete in the NBA at his height of his career, was one of the top five anyway. And yet, if you remember his matches in the tag matches, and he wasn't in the ring that much, he was blowing up because it's a different pacing, you know?
Yeah.
And you can only get that ring win in the ring. I remember reading someplace that Angle did sprints and then, quick sprints and then walk and sprint and walk, because that was more how a match is run. You know, if he wasn't working out in the ring, that would give him closer to the cardio effect that he would get in a match.
True.
So where is everybody in the chat room?
Mm. They're hanging in there.
Are they, you know, they can get in on this conversation, too.
Yeah, the problem with going back to the chat room too much is that we're on a two-minute delay. So they get it like 2 minutes later, and by the time they mention something about it, we're already done talking
okay.
about it.
Well, if you've got any questions, hey, guys, we're sitting here babbling on and on. And
but
I try to.
I don't know, actually,
how entertaining it is or how boring it is. So, you know, if you got questions, ask. Is Doc straight or is he, you know.
You'll find out.
Did that come up last night on Raw, too? That homophobia thing to me, and it's not just necessarily, it's our business.
You mean putting the spirit squad in the cheerleader outfit?
Yeah, or what? Yeah, did somebody mention something about somebody being gay last night or something?
The coach.
Okay, but, you know, we're talking about Cena's promos. There was one of the things, you know, he kept referring to, like, guys were taking it in the rear end or they were this or that.
Right.
And I'm thinking, John. You sound homophobic, for God's sakes. You're not, to me, you are not getting yourself over, right?
I mean, if he had done it once or twice,
yeah,
it would have become an obsession.
Well, I don't know that necessarily it was an obsession with him. It was an obsession over his writing and stuff.
Right.
You know, and
but nobody knows that.
Well, you know,
casual
even,
fans.
Even back in the day, there was Joe Turner and Bill Bowman. And they wore the pink tights and pink boots, and but you know they projected it to a degree, but it was never talked about.
Right.
And in this day and age, it's like who cares? You know, it goes back to in Texas years ago, Ricky Starr, who wore ballet slippers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like pink trunks and pink ballet slippers, and he would do ballet numbers in the ring. I mean, when I say numbers, he didn't do a complete dance, but he would do pirouettes on his toe or whatever the hell you call them and stuff like that. But the story goes that while in Texas, he was in a bar and some old roughshod cowboy, you're that queer, yeah, blah, 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 you know, and Ricky's trying to talk him down because he doesn't want, you know, a problem. So anyway, long story short, the guy figures he takes Ricky's neutral stance for being afraid, which was the wrong way to take it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he laid his hands on Ricky, and Ricky laid him out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they got Ricky out of the bar, but when the guy came around, when he was knocked unconscious, when he came around, he said, that's the toughest queer I've ever seen. So it didn't change his opinion, right? But he was a tough queer. He wasn't a sissy queer. You know, so, but I mean, that was back in the early 60s, for Christ's sake.
Right.
You know, in this day and age, I think a lot of that is just, it's, I don't know, it just doesn't, why is my, you know, get the athletes over with their personalities and not so much their political or sexual preferences, or you know, it'd be just kind of dumb. As well, I want to beat Doc Young's butt because he's a Republican.
Oh, don't ever say that.
I'm bi-political. I'm not a party. I'm just whoever. I think I'm for the best guy, and in this day and age, I don't know who that would be.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway, we don't get into that.
That's a whole other show.
I don't know a lot about politics and don't want to.
Yeah. The thing that got me about the Spirit Squad last night is that they were embarrassed to come out, you know, with their underwear showing.
Oh, and then I heard that my buddy Johnny Jeter had a brown streak.
Oh, yeah.
Which it might have been. That was funny when I was in the fourth grade.
That wasn't necessary at all.
Well, see, I mean, again, that type of humor is. It is lowbrow. It's very low class, and very humorless. I think for adults, I don't know.
Yeah, the thing that got me though was that you know they were still wearing more than Triple H wears to the ring.
Okay.
Why were they embarrassed?
Well, see that's the, you know what that's the other thing too. Sometimes people are set up with the due reactions that make no sense to me, and you know how I am about logic and things that make common sense. It's like, the girls are having a bra and panties match,
mm-hmm.
and it might be two of the girls who have posed for Playboy nude.
Right.
So what's their, you know, why are they acting bashful all of a sudden?
Yeah.
You know, and they come out to the bra and panties matches with more clothes on than they normally would have worn the week before when they announced that.
Right.
You know,
and then all of a sudden they're all embarrassed.
And then at the end, after the girl A beats girl B, then girl A takes her clothes off anyway.
Yeah.
So
so everybody wins.
Well, you win. But I mean, the point is, if you really stop and dissect it and think about it, what is up with this? I mean, it makes no sense.
Yeah, it's pretty...
None. N-O.
It's pretty lazy.
You know, well, yeah, you know, or it's like the thing where, you know, I'm standing in the ring and I see you and your five buddies coming a mile away, and I stand there. Why? Okay, I know the five of you are going to team up on me, so why am I staying there?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in script.
What did you think about the when DX had Jonathan Coachman cornered in the hallway and they started playing Western music and then there was a tumbleweed by his foot?
I didn't see that. I heard, but the guy I talked to today, I can say I didn't see any of Raw last night, but the guy I talked to today told me about it, and he was like, all right. Or they played music from The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Yes, yes.
You know? Well, you know, here's kind of the thing to me, too. And this guy that told it to me today, he brought this up and planted this. I can say I didn't see the show. He planted the seed.
Mm-hmm.
He said it, all they were doing for him was it making tougher for him to get his head in the state he felt it should be to watch the cage match at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It goes back to my analogies that I've given you so many times. If you throw a three-minute clip of the Three Stooges in the middle of my Law & Order show, you've lost me.
Yeah.
You know, and Law & Order has its little subtle humorous spots, but it's just spots, right? They don't try to shift gears from one. They don't go 180 degrees on you, is my point.
I thought it didn't belong, but I did laugh.
You know what? I'm horrible about analyzing and dissecting things, and as you know, if you sit and break it down, or the fans in the chat room, a lot of times you're laughing because the person is out of character.
Yeah.
Not because it's too tremendously funny. You know. The first Longest Yard movie I thought was a better movie than the second one. Right.
Had a better ending.
But I laughed my butt off at Nash because I know Nash and because Kevin was just being Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was funny. But it wasn't necessary because the movie itself was all that super hilarious.
Right.
You know, and like I said, it was more of a plot and more drama built into the first one with Burt Reynolds. And if you get both of them and watch them, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took a lot of 2005 or whatever year the damn movie, the second one, was made, liberties with, let's jump, instead of trying to do this and you know, build it, let's just quick fast forward.
Yeah.
You know, and jump from one thing to the other. But I mean, it was entertaining, but if I never see it again, okay. You know, it wasn't all that good. But like I say, Nash to me was funny because, you know, my wife said, why is that? I said, because Kevin's just being Kevin. You know. I mean, for me, sometimes I'll laugh at particular skits because I know the person.
Right.
But it's not. I mean, if I were just a casual viewer, it's, you know, we've talked about Rock and Jericho and Keebler being great goodwill ambassadors. You know, but and I've talked about my famous rants, why I want respect for the wrestlers and for the industry as a whole. And if you're one of those people who finally, well, I'm going to give it a try, and you switch over and see somebody switching a real human being for a blow-up doll, and the guy who's supposed to be jumping on it can't tell the difference, or a bowling ball being rolled into somebody's crotch, or better still, somebody standing with their rear end bared and somebody else trying to shove another guy's head up. But it's are you going to give that particular – and if this is your first impression – is that going to make you respect the people involved, or what it is?
Right.
Most of our listeners, and you, I know, are too young to understand what vaudeville was. And, well, actually, I am too. But in watching movies and reading a little bit of the history, you know, one of the reasons vaudeville died because it became so
campy.
Yeah, and it didn't grow with the times. Now, when I say go back to more basic wrestling, I don't mean go back to 1940 or 1950 or see. But go back to the basics and make it competition. Now, one of the things that I was always kind of proud of with the business during the 20 years that I actually wrestled is we kind of changed with the times, and sometimes it was tough to get the promoters to do that. Jerry Briscoe and I in Charlotte, well, I mean, we didn't go out and pick it or anything, but we decided that, when I came in that year with Danny Miller, 1971, I had facial hair, and I had, my hair was, now it wasn't extremely long, but it was semi-long, and someone in the office said to Mr. Crockett, that, you know, well, shouldn't Thatcher shave and cut his hair? Gary Hart's got a mustache. And I said, and Mr. Crockett was trying to move into the current, century, and he said no. Mm-hmm. But see, now this other person in the office that had their way, I'd have gone back to being the baby face that was that person knew 30 years ago.
Right.
And when I say I'm old school, I certainly am in my work ethic and my beliefs that the foundation of the business and earning its, and wanting it to earn respect, but I also understand that things should change, right? Mm-hmm. I just think now that they're trying too hard to get. There's no the things they're trying to shock you with don't shock you,
mm-hmm.
and the attitude era is over.
Just makes you roll your eyes.
Yeah, well it does. Yeah, yeah.
Old school in the chat room. Speaking of old school, here's a question for you. And I don't know if you were told this about Raw last night, but they did a little skit with DX backstage, and Chris Masters was talking to Eric Bischoff about his book.
Oh, about the 40 pounds?
Yes. Let me explain it for anybody who missed Raw last night. What happened was basically Chris Masters said that he wanted to write a book about nutrition, and Triple H said, yeah, what are you going to write a book about, how to lose 50 pounds in 4 weeks? And then Chris Masters
got
mad and walked
off. I think pretty much anybody that's a steady, that reads a website occasionally or the sheets, understood that it was kind of an inside joke. But my problem is that they have this wellness program in place, and they've been pretty good with it, I think. And I just don't see the value of making fun of it.
Yeah, I know.
And we all know why Masters lost that weight. And
yeah,
it's also lost Masters' spot on the card to a certain degree.
Yeah, and it's sort of like making fun of him for doing the right thing,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just met the guy last night for the first time, this big kid here in Cincinnati that's like 6'4", 275, and built like a brick outhouse. But I told him, I said, because I'd heard about him. The guys that own the company had told me, but the last time was my first encounter with him, and he's got a long way to go. He's got a lot to learn. But I said, yeah, that body will get your foot in the door. But I said, look, if you can't work, I said, Chris Masters tried to live on his look. And now that he don't have that look, he looks average, and his work doesn't hold up his end. So you got to try to present the whole package. So it's just the body. The body's not going to get it done. But, no, I'm not offended by it, but I just think it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It would be like the NFL making fun of their drug policies or something.
Yeah, and I think Triple H is the last guy to be making fun of somebody about
that.
Well,
yeah, he may have taken some supplements in his time.
Yeah, some super subs.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I got a couple more
okay.
Quick little tidbits, and then we're going to get, of course, our featured guest, Scott Norton, on the program.
Okay.
Joey Mercury is back. He made his in-ring return.
Oh, really?
Yes, for Ohio Valley after being taken off the road for failing a drug test.
I am so glad. I like that kid, and, I didn't get him. He was he and his tag team partner were in the Memphis Developmental, and then when they moved those guys over to me, they cut Brian Danielson loose as well at that time, American Dragon.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to work with any of those guys at that time. But since I've gotten to know Joe, and I like him, I think he's a good hand. I think he carried that team, and that's I don't mean that as a reflection on Nitro, because Nitro's greener, and so he needed somebody to kind of be the traffic cop. And I think Joe filled that need, and I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, let's hope he stays healthy.
And
Joey Mercury out and back. And there's no word yet on when he'll be brought back to TV, if he's going to be on SmackDown, Raw.
Well, it's been, how long has he been out now?
I would say a good 4 or 5 months, maybe.
Okay, well, then he's going to need, we were talking about ring wind earlier and timing, and those are two things that that you don't, it's like riding a bicycle, you don't lose your timing. I mean, you don't you know what it is, but you don't have it. You got to get back in there and dig, and you know, and get some the ring rust off, and he's going to need to get his ring win back too. So it's going to take him a little while.
Yeah, a press release was issued yesterday stating that Papa Roach's new single "To Be Loved" is going to be the new theme song for Monday Night Raw. The new theme may begin next week with the big Raw family reunion event.
You know, I am was it Papa Roach? He had this kind of lilting, it was a semi-rap song out a couple years ago that I kind of liked for whatever reason. I can't remember the name of it. I see. I'm a big, you know what, the NWO, the second group.
The Wolfpack?
Yeah. There, I like their music.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I like DX's music.
Yeah.
Who was it that Edge and Christian were with initially when they came up out of the fire?
Gangrel.
Yeah, Gangrel. I liked their entrance music. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, the Brood.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
you know, I'm not into a lot of the metal bands and the names of the more modern stuff, but yeah.
I don't think a band actually did the Brood's music. I think it was WWE produced.
Was it?
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, it had a nice beat, and it kind of got your attention. And you know what? There's something, you know, talking about difference between old school and current. I understand that if you establish a good entrance song, that kind of gets the people up for you as you come to the ring. And Lord knows we could have used that 40 years ago. I wouldn't have been adverse to it at all.
Yeah.
You know? I see the value in that, too. Yeah, but I think there's some musics that are just, they're there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's others that kind of catch my fancy.
Mickey James' music is just there.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of my, if you played it and said, whose is that? I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's, like I say, I would know DX, I would know the Wolfpack, you know. And that sort of stuff, but there's so many that, and Gangrels, but so many I would not recognize.
Yeah, if you guys don't want to hear the a TNA spoiler, go ahead and mute your microphone or mute your headphones right now for a moment.
Put your hands over your ears.
Yes, but as of right now, the plan is to have Bobby Roode hire none other than Tracy Brooks as his manager after they finish the storyline of him interviewing.
Well, you know what, and we love Tracy, do we not?
I love Tracy.
I'd love her if she were never on our show. I can't say that my wife, well, anyway. I love her like a daughter. If I were her age, I'd say, oh, could I have a date? No. but, you know, but see, here's the backwards angle of that. Did she ever interview to be his manager?
Not yet, if they are going to
okay.
do it.
Okay. But then, if anyone understands a little wrestling history, those who did are so far above her. They don't have the breasts that she has, or they're not as good looking.
Right.
But if you're, I mean, it's like.
But maybe that's what Bobby.
It's like, am I going to hire Bill Belichick to coach my football team, or am I going to hire Joe Blow, who coached at high school?
Yeah.
But you get my point?
Yeah.
So the effectiveness of all these people pitching is like, okay, so this is. She's pretty, but it's kind of a bad choice in terms of if she's actually going to manage my career.
Yeah. Maybe that's what Bobby Roode was looking for, was for boobs.
You think?
It could be.
Or do you think this was is just a takeoff on how Elizabeth ended up with Randy years ago? It is, you know. Stop and think about it. She was a total stranger,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, she didn't even bid for his. It was all the other Slick and Heenan and... whoever the hell else were managers at that time.
That's a good point.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, see, that's what made her more effective because she wasn't exposed. And what takes some of the effectiveness away from Tracy is the fact that, hey, that's Tracy Brooks. She's been with the company since the start.
Yeah.
Right? See
yeah.
my point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Move on.
lastly, and I think you're going to like this one, that current X Division champion, Senshi, of course, Loki, who's known to take himself very seriously, wasn't thrilled at all when he was told a blow-up doll was going to be used in the
good
finish.
Good for him. I wasn't thrilled either, Key.
Yeah.
Now, I, you know what? I just met him. And he does take himself seriously. I met him the last Ring of Honor show I was at. He came up and, well, Al Snow had met him before, but he came up and introduced himself to me and talked to Al. And I there, you know, we had a nice, intelligent conversation. And but you know what? I guess he's done some out-of-the-way things. And I say I guess because it's just what I've heard. I don't know firsthand. But to take chastised for taking your business seriously, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm glad he takes it. And you know, probably I was as sensitive as he should have been.
Yeah.
You know I was, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but he's your champion, and you make him look like a fool.
Yeah.
What's the value of that?
One TNA source says that Senshi was so mad about it being involved that he attempted to drop kick it so hard that it would pop.
Good.
So they would have to go to the finish right away, but that didn't end up happening. But I just thought that was funny, and especially about how upset you were about it.
Well, you know what, Doc? We're going to use our friend Tracy Brooks as an example here. If I said, Doc, I'm going to let you kiss Tracy, but turn your back first, and then I move Tracy out of the way and put a blow-up doll with black hair in front of you, and you turned around, would you know the difference?
Yeah.
And if you went ahead and kissed the blow-up doll, then probably everybody watching would say, what a doofus, right?
Well, I was about
to say, be the only reaction that we could possibly come up with.
I was about to say, I'd probably just shrug and kiss it anyway, but
well,
that's
I know,
just me.
I know, because it would have memories and long hair, which are the two prerequisites. I know, Doc. We're not going to get into this.
You know my standards, Les.
And why should, you know, here's the other thing. I said earlier when we were talking about rants and my feelings, and when I said I don't hold the guys accountable, but here's the point where Senshi or Key made his point, right?
Senshi,
excuse me.
Yes.
I don't know why they changed. Well, I do know why they changed.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want them to trademark that name.
Right.
And I'm up with that too. If that's his feeling. But you know, how many other guys feel the same way, but again are in a position where they cannot question it? Right.
Right.
Hulk Hogan can question anything he wants. Steve Austin. I mean, well, and there's other guys who, you know, can are tactful enough or political enough that they can say, well, gee, you really think this is a good idea? But a lot of guys do what, and here's something I can tell you firsthand. I will do whatever you need me to do to the best of my ability, but I'm also smart enough to realize if it's something I really have my heart and soul and my head into, I'm going to do it better than those things that I'm questioning myself.
Right.
You know? So if it's not an extension of you, if they and those people knowing how Key is about his what he does and about the business, then they were even more in error to ask me to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, and I heard, and the rumor going around now is that it was all Jeremy Borash's idea. So now we know who to blame.
Yes, and I blame him then because, you know what. No, here's the one thing I will say for Vince McMahon, and I say I respect him for that. He has never, you know, he does things and puts himself in bad situations, like having his own head put up his son's butt, right? I mean, so
yeah.
Vince doesn't ask you to do something he will not do himself.
Exactly.
Whether I like it or don't like it or whether it's right or wrong is not even the point. The point is he's not asking you to lead the charge up the hill to get shot at first, he'll lead it himself.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how it's going to work out with Russo, but, you know.
Let's hope it does.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the key here, and I respect the Jarrett family. I've worked with Jeff's dad. I worked with his grandmother. I worked with his uncle. On and on and on. Actually, I worked with his grandfather too, on his mother's side. They have got to get somebody else hot with that belt.
Yeah.
And I know the stance. It's the same reason. If Taker has earned it. Mark Calloway has earned every damn thing he's got. But one of the reasons they go to him is they know he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They know he's going to play ball. And I understand that too. But you've got to at some point take a chance.
Right.
You really do.
We're going to take a break, guys, and God, we did it to him again. We're going to be a little bit late calling him, but...
Well, but, you know what?
At least we did it in two parts.
Scott may never date you again. I don't know.
I'm going to tell him you said that.
Well, you know what? I'm a long way away from Georgia, so...
I don't know, he might be the surprise guest at the Vincent Show this weekend. You never know.
All right, whatever.
Let's take a break, guys. When we come back, our featured guest, Scott Norton, part two of the interview coming up. Get your questions ready. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We did an hour and a half without a commercial, Les, again.
Wow. I'm tired of listening to me. I can't speak for everybody.
Yeah, let's not do this anymore. Let's take more commercials next week.
You know what? I think you should talk to our producer.
I will. I'm gonna put my foot down because... You
mean he's going to do something besides sleep
and
drink beer? Okay, just check it.
Possibly this week, you know.
Okay. Well, for all the fans listening, once the big high-dollar show is over this Saturday, then maybe he can actually get back down to our level.
Yes, and get to working on the website again.
Once he's made, you know, six figures profit after paying off everyone on Saturday.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
I do, too. I don't know what I'm smoking.
I don't know.
Things like that.
But it's a nice...
Whoever accused you of smoking, now they're going to accuse me of at least popping pills or something.
It's a nice dream, though.
Yes, it is.
We'll be right back after this, guys. Stick around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nedelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Style by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nedelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly on the line right now. We're going to try to give them all the time we can. We messed up again and called them late, but yeah. Former NWO member.
Wait, what do you mean we?
Okay, I did.
Who called late? He's the producer, Scott. He's the guy that makes the call.
Oh, Doc, that's on you, brother.
I'm passing the heat, man.
Wow, man.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm used to that in the business, but you guys get a bye.
Okay.
There's no question about it. I can look past what you guys do because you're great. And what you do is great, and I enjoy it.
Just before we came on, we were talking about ribs, and you said, well, you know, Doc had asked me earlier tonight, had I ever been ribbed? I said, Are you ribbing? Of course, everybody's been ribbed in this business. What was the rib you were talking about?
Well, this is probably the all-time best rib that's ever happened to me. Is when I first started in the AWA. It was me and the Destruction Crew, Wayne Bloom and Mike Enos on the road, and Vern wasn't paying us $100,000 a month or anything, so we weren't staying in the Marriotts, and we're sharing a room. So anyways, one night Mike Enos would sleep on the cot, and the other two guys would go to bed. Then the other night, Wayne Bloom would sleep on the cot. So the third night, Bloom says, "It's your turn to sleep on the cot, Norton." I said, I know, don't worry about it. So we went out, we had a few beers, and I guess I snored a little bit. So anyways, I'm on the cot, and it's one of the rooms where, you know, you park your car right in front of the door,
right.
Walk out, and there's, you know, the door goes right outside. So anyways, about 4 o'clock in the morning, we're in Winnipeg, Canada, and it's probably about 30 degrees below zero. I don't know. It was cold. And Enos and Bloom, in the middle of the night, because I was snoring, rolled me out in the parking lot and parked me in a parking spot. They covered me up anyways. They put, extra blankets on me and everything. And so anyways, I wake up, and I go, I'm kind of lost. I'm going, what the heck is going on here? I mean, that don't look like a lamp. This doesn't look like a room. And all of a sudden, I realize that I was pushed outside. So I'm a little angry about it, of course. So, the doors are close, right next to each other, right? And they pushed me out, and they kind of took a left and then put me in the parking lot. So when I came back, I started beating on the other door, not the door Wayne Bloom and Enos were in. This other poor guy, and I'm telling him, I'm going to kick your head in. He opened the door, let me in, and the poor guy called the police on me. So I'm out there, I'm freezing, I'm barefoot, I'm standing on this cot, and I'm just banging on the door, and all of a sudden the cops come up, and they go, what in the hell are you doing? And I said, I got two buddies in there, and I'm going to kick the hell out of them. And so the guy opens the door, and he goes, and he's a French-Canadian guy, and he goes, and he's talking all this, and I'm going, oh, my God.
He wants to kill me.
And I said, hey, I'm really sorry, And all of a sudden, then I figured out the room was the one next door, and the whole time, Enos and Bloom are sitting there, they're looking out the window at me, and they're watching this whole thing. And I tell you, if it wouldn't have been for Bloom, I'd have gone to jail. He talked to, he saved me. He says, what are you doing sleeping in the parking lot? I said, well, it's a long story, but.
Yes. We could do 5 hours on ribs and still not even hit the tip of the...
Could even scratch the surface, yeah.
It's amazing what healthy athletes with a lot of time on their hands end up doing, isn't it?
Well, and it's not just wrestling either. I mean, NFL, they do it in spring training, and, I mean, baseball, they're all into it. Yeah, I mean, hell, it's just, it's part of the deal, and I guess when you break it into business, you got to kind of beware. And,
yeah.
I mean, because I've been around some of the best. I mean, the Nasty Boys and Dynamite. I mean, the Bull. I mean, God, British Bulldog. Them two guys were just completely brutal.
Yeah, I've heard the story.
The greatest one, though, is Colonel Parker. We were staying in Orlando, and the Nasty Boys are really giving Colonel Parker the business the night before. And we all stayed in the same hotel. That's where we're doing the Orlando tapings for WCW, right when the NWO started up in Home Nine Yards. And the Nasty Boys really got on Colonel Parker's case that night. So Colonel Parker, he took the garbage can from the end of the third floor. I remember this, it happened yesterday. And he got a garden hose, and he filled it with water. And anyways, he went up and he called the Nasty Boys' room. He says, I'm the maid. I need to clean your room. You got to let me in, blah, blah. They went after the door, So he's banging on the door. And Colonel Parker would knock on the door. and he'd go on a full sprint, and he'd run all the way down and dive in his room. Well, they wouldn't answer the door. So Colonel Parker, about the fourth time, he's going back down to do this, right? And just as he's going to go knock on the door, Knobs opened the door up, and that 55-gallon drum of water fell into his room and just flooded him, right?
Oh, man.
And he goes, I'm going to get you for this one. Shut the door and went back to bed. And there was just, 55 gallons of water in the room. Back to bed. I hope he picked his bag up, but, yeah, that's how they... It was just, times like that, they were great, but, just wanted it to happen to you too often, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been some, back before my generation, I started in 1960, but I've heard some stories from the generation before of some of them. I'm thinking, my God, it's a wonder they haven't killed each other.
Oh.
You probably heard this, speaking of killing, you probably heard the story about Johnny Valentine and Jay York, the Alaskan, right, in St. Louis?
Yes.
Yes. And where York came back with a gun and was going to actually...
Oh, hey, I'll tell you. It gets heated. Some guys, they don't take well to it, and they feel like they're getting picked on, and they don't understand it's, it's kind of a group thing, and...
Sure.
It just gets carried away. I remember one time Kurt Hennin, bless his soul, we're standing outside the Marriott, and the bell captain came out. He's got one of them... the big carts, the gold carts, the brass carts, and all of our luggage is on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Kurt come off, and he comes out of the car, and he's got his shorts are down to his knees, and he's got his pants, and he looks like he's doing this dorky, funny gimmick, right? So anyways, without anybody knowing it, Kurt takes a line and ties it to that luggage cart, and we're all standing waiting for our cars to get pulled up and everything, and... He hops back in his car and he says, you guys are about the dumbest son of a, let us have it. Everybody, yeah, right, they're yelling at him. Everything. He takes off and also here goes the luggage cart right down the road. And it's not like he went 10 feet. He drove right out of the place and left.
Wow.
He took the cart off halfway down. And then, when we got to the building the next night, we're ready to kill him, but then you're... Here's Kurt in the locker room, got a little smile on his face. He can't do nothing to the guy but laugh.
I'll tell you real quick.
Did you guys hear about the one on Monday Nitro when they brought the Ultimate Warrior in?
No.
No.
Now, this is a mature audience, right? We could get a little bit off the... No cussing, no swearing, none of that.
Use primetime rules, but yeah.
Anyways... When the Ultimate Warrior came in, all the guys in the NWO, except for Hogan, Hall, and Nash, of course, we went under the ring at 4 o'clock and had to wait till 8 o'clock and then till 9 o'clock for when the show started to do this thing when we came out from under the ring, Well, Kurt Hennin, the wise bud he is, took X-Lax, it ate a bunch of hard-boiled eggs and Butterfingers.
Man.
So we had a telephone under there, right?
Yeah.
And Kurt goes, this is about 7 o'clock. And, we're dying under there. They got fans blowing in on us. And, there's some big guys in there. Stevie Ray, Brian Adams, myself, Bagwell. Just a bunch of guys. We're all stacked up under there. And all of a sudden, Kurt picks the phone up. He goes, I got to go to the bathroom. I need a bucket. And, as soon as he said that, a bucket appeared under the ring. And I'm going, that was awfully quick. So I figured he's just going to go number one, right?
Right.
No, not Kurt. I says, Kurt, you can't do that. You can't. There's no way you can do this. And I got my face buried in one of these mats because I'm pretty skittish about stuff like this, right? He did it.
Oh.
And it was horrible.
And all the fans did was circulate it, right?
Well, no, the fans pushed it under the ring.
Yeah.
So I get on the phone, and I said, you got to get us out of here. This is horrible. And I said, Kurt, we're to kill you.
Kurt stinks, man. We got to go.
You're done. This is, you went too far on this one, So anyways, it was so bad I vomited.
Oh.
And when I vomited, Stevie Ray's over there, he's going, don't do that. He's about ready to go. It was just horrible. So we all start talking. You know, we says, I'll tell you what, forget about Dalton Ward. You know, he'll trip or something maybe. I don't know. Somebody get him. But let's just get Kurt and beat the daylight. So anyways, you know, we get our cue and all of a sudden we all pop up. And Kurt, he shot right out of there. He ran right up the Monday Nitro.
The ramp.
Ramp. And he, as he went by, I think it was Dean Malenko or one of them guys, handed him his bag and he ran right to his rental car and just took off. And he was going to Japan the next day for working for Inoki's office.
Oh, man.
And we didn't see him for like a month. Because, of course, when he got back, he was afraid to come back because he's working an injury, I think, you know.
Wow.
But that was horrible. I mean, to sit under there with that, and I hope it was a two, but, I mean, that's that was the all-time stinker.
Oh.
Yeah, well, no pun intended, right?
I would hate to have seen who had to clean up under the ring after the show.
Yes.
And, you know, Kurt, I mean, every time you turn your head up, he's tipping it and showing you it, and all of a sudden you just start getting sick again. It was just,
oh.
You know, he was the greatest ribber in the business.
Yeah, I never spent a lot of time around him, but I've been around a few. The next time we have you on, and when Doc gives us some time, we'll talk about it. I'll tell you guys some of the ribs from back in the day.
Yeah, we'll have to have a special rib show one day.
Hey, I tell you what, I got a whole bunch of them. I mean, there's a zillion of them.
We'll set up a special rib show. We'll have a bunch of different guests come on and tell their best story. I think that's a good idea.
You need to call up one of the nasty boys and ask them about the ice cream sundae they concocted on a European flight one time.
Oh, no. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I do not want to know.
Even imagine. Last time you were on, you were booking for somebody, but now you are starting or have started your own promotion, correct?
Well, things change once in a while. The one thing that I've always done in business or friendship and everything has been honest. And I'm not going to let anything dictate to me how I'm supposed to act as an individual. And the guy that I was working with in Phoenix just wasn't honest with me. And one thing led to another, and I'm not going to devote my time, take a year off from Japan, and try to put all my efforts into something that just, you know, I'm not going to base it on lies and you know, certain production things and sponsorships and stuff where they're not true. So what I've done is I've contacted a lot of guys, and I've started my own company out there. It's called Wild West Championship Wrestling. Our first show will be November 4th at the Castle Sports Club. And I got a heck of a card, and we're going to try to do it right. I mean, I got CC Starr and Bill Anderson on board with me. And I got a lot of the same guys I mentioned before. They don't, you know, they'd rather not work with the WAE. They'd rather come with me. And I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I know since I've put the feelers out and talked to certain casinos and sponsors and TV place or stations and stuff, I'm getting a real positive response. So I'm going forward with this. And nonetheless.
Sounds good.
You know,
that's one of the things. I know when I first got involved in the indies, which was back in 93, I was in shock. I mean, the way things were run, and I thought, oh, my God, this is what our business has come to. But the more guys that have been, you know, to the work to bigger companies and take the business seriously, they get involved, that's only going to improve, I think, the indie scene. Because there's so many guys that just play at this. They want to think they're Vince McMahon or whoever.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, I mean, do they really understand what the WWE is the NFL? I mean, it's monstrous. You can't just all of a sudden get some initials, a title, name a company, and all of a sudden you're you know, banging doors with Vince McMahon. I mean, it takes time, and everything's built on trust and being honest with guys. And if you treat them the way you want to be treated, I mean, all that's an old way of putting things, but it's the truth. And, I mean, I'm certainly not going to tell stories to somebody just to get them to do something for me. I'm not going to avoid people. I'm not going to avoid phone calls. I'm just going to be wide open. I'm going to, you know, let them know where I'm at, where I'm standing. And if I can't keep them working, I'll find them work. And I mean, you know, until we get this going. And they got a good understanding where I'm coming from. They believe me, and they should, because it's the truth. And I'm taking it from there. And I mean, it's easy to tell the truth. I've always wondered why people, you know, I mean, if to be honest with somebody is a total respect deal.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's, I mean, some people don't like to hear the truth, but I respect that out of anybody. A man doesn't have to be 6'5", 300 pounds to be considered a man. You know, that has nothing to do with it. Honesty and just handling yourself properly and just doing business correctly could take care of a lot of those things that the indie market has had gone against them for a long, long time. And I'm just not going to do business like that. And I mean, I'm not going to work with people like that either. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be straight across the line. I mean, I know I'm sounding like, you know, some goody two-shoes or something. I don't know. But it's just something that's the way I want to, you know, I want to be able to do this. And I'm going to do it that way.
But you know what? That's going to be a plus for you on down the road, because Wrestler A is going to work for you, and he's going to tell somebody else, hey, here's the deal with Norton. He tells you what he tells you. He backs up. He takes care of you. He respects you. He respects the business. So, because, you know, right now there's so many of these. I knew I was over at my old company, HWA, last night, and some of those kids were talking about some of the indie promoters that they'd traveled 6 hours to get to a show, and they canceled and didn't tell them it was canceled and stuff like that, you know.
I couldn't possibly fathom to do that to somebody and just, I mean, not have enough decency to pick the phone up, make a phone call.
I know.
You know, when I was doing this with WAE, I stayed in contact with the guys every 2-3 days. I made sure that, you know, everything's cool 2 weeks from now.
Sure.
You know, this is what we're thinking of doing. This is what, you know, this is my ideas. Are you comfortable with this? It you know, if especially, you know, I told the guy that, I said, you got my back, I got your back, you be honest with me, I'll be honest with you, and there's no reason with this group of guys why we can't make this work in a smaller market to start building to a place where we want to get.
Yeah.
And that broke down awfully quick. And I mean, that's why, you know, I'm just...
Isn't that a shame?
Well, you know, and I'm glad I learned sooner than later.
True.
And, you know, and the thing about it is I've met a great bunch of guys that I really, you know, haven't had any contact with in Japan. They weren't in WCW with me. And it's just, you know, things happen for a reason. These guys, I have the complete trust. They trust me. I trust them. And, you know, I'm on the phone constantly. And I'm going to put this together. And, you know, it's not like we're to, you know, do it completely different from everybody else. But we're to do it on a basis where it's going to be, when I tell you something, it's going to happen.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Sometimes, you know, when you want something done right, you got to do it yourself.
Well, you know, I mean, you're right. You know, and I have taken some bookings off from Japan, and, you know, I did tell them that I wanted to concentrate on this for a year and see what I can do with it within the WAE. But now, you know, I'm not just because he went bad on me, I'm not going to just say, well, forget it and not do it, because I see the opportunity out there if it's done properly with the guys. They're really good to work with, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I'm pretty good in the locker room with the guys, you know. I mean, I don't, it's not a bunch of rah-rah stuff, but I mean, it's a comfortable locker room. It's a respectful locker room. I mean, I told anybody if they wanted their own locker, you know, by themselves locker room, I said, I'll give you a cell phone, and you go sit in my car, you know, you can sit out there by yourself, and I'll call you when your match is up, you know. And that phone wouldn't ring. It's just the way it is. I mean, we're all together, we're all doing the same thing, you know, and we're just going to do it, you know, and it's pretty easy to do it that way.
Yeah, do you have an official website or anything?
Yeah, we got. I'm on the MySpace. We started out with that. This is the third day we've gotten it together. I just got off the phone with CC Starr. We booked an arena for November 4th. And another guy we got coming out with us is pretty wild. I got a phone call from him. It's Johnny Playfair or Fairplay. Is that
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fairplay. So he wants to be on part of it, and we're pretty excited about that because I'm sure he'll bring some people that you know normally wouldn't go to a wrestling show.
Yeah, he's pretty good with the casual fans.
Well, on the the heat he got on the Survivor Series, and then when they brought some of the old cast members back that second time around too.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's wild. I mean, he's
yeah.
Yeah, we've had him on the show.
he went to Miami Ink to get a tattoo, and some guy came up to him and said hello to him, and he says, "God, you look like Chris Farley." And the guy went to shake his hand, and he said, "Chris Farley." He says, "If I want to shake Chris Farley's hand, I go dig him up."
Oh.
Get out of here. So he got a big skirmish with him. So he didn't end up getting his tattoo. He didn't make the show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he says, well, I figured they wanted me to be me, you know, so, well.
Not always.
Not always. Exactly. You know.
Yeah, back it up, too. We're running out of time, but I want to wish you luck on your new promotion. It's called Wild West Championship Wrestling, guys.
And Doc, we are going to bring Scott back again, and we're going to give him at least 45 minutes the next time.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, you guys can bring me back as much as you want. And, you know, there's some new guys out west that I would think that somewhere down the line that you would really get a kick out of talking to that are...
Well, you know what? If you've got some guys that are they're working your promotion that are, you know, that would be interesting, let Doc produce the show. And I give him grief, and that's the way.
Yeah, I know Doc produces the show. Doc's called late twice.
But you know, give him some.
I thought it was 10:30. I didn't know it was 9:30.
Give him some. Give him the contact information, and with some of the guys who work on your shows, we'd be happy to put him on.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Sure,
that would be great, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. We gotta get going, guys. Of course, check out the website, find out who our guest is going to be next week. Don't forget to check us out. And also, yes, this weekend, the big No Second Chances in Vincennes, Indiana. Les is going to be in the house. Rosie's going to be there. Romeo Roselli. Lots of great guys. And, of course, I'll be there, too. And hopefully you guys can check it out on DVD when it comes out.
We're going to have Scott Norton back real soon.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you next Tuesday. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll see you next week.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your stand. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run. Like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, sucker, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play. It's all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about the price.